amazing. And all this information is public. It's available. It just takes a while to accumulate it and to highlight it. But that's exactly why, with this farm bill up for reauthorization this year, it's an opportunity for us to take a look at these subsidy programs and recommend opportunities for reform and change, to decouple payments from price and production, to make it fair, more equitable to all producers in all regions of the country, rather than these huge subsidy payments that are going to a few but very large commodity producers in a handful of states to the exclusion of everyone else. 70% of agriculture producers in this country are getting no subsidy payments at all, and the vast bulk, 80% of the subsidy payments are going to just 15 states. Wisconsin isn't one of them, and that's surprising given the large agricultural production that we have in our own home state. So tomorrow I'm introducing legislation called Farm 21. It has bipartisan support, multiple region support throughout the country. It talks about reforming these agriculture subsidy programs for these commodity crops and instead establishes risk management accounts. They're like farmer IRAs that they can dip into when farm income drops or to supplement their insurance payments. But it frees up resources over the next 5 years to make other investments, payments under the conservation title, under the nutrition programs, specialty crops, rural development, biofuels production, these other areas that we have to be investing in right now so we get away from this Great Depression and Dust Bowl era regime that these agriculture subsidy programs come from. And this will help farmers, I believe, modernize for the 21st century, make them more competitive both at home and abroad. It's non-market distorting and also non-trade distorting. And the other important reason why we should be talking about agriculture reform is we've already lost the cotton case in the WTO. It was ruled against us. Canada now is moving forward with 10 other nations to challenge our agriculture subsidies. So if we don't reform our farm bill ourselves, it will be done for us, inevitably. And given the high market prices for corn because of biofuels, wheat, and beans, this is the ideal time to do it when farm income is up and we have this flexibility in these programs. I think people would be horrified if they knew exactly who are the recipients of these large subsidy payments. You're talking about large corporations, sometimes Fortune 500 companies or universities or prisons even, that are receiving these agriculture subsidies, when the average person, I think, would like to believe that they're really there to support family farm operations, to make them competitive and viable. But that's not the case. I mean, these subsidy programs have been loaded up throughout the years to benefit a few but very powerful special interests here in Washington, that we've gotten away from the ideals of the goal of the Farm Bill, which is not only to provide assistance to our family farmers, help them survive and to compete, but also programs that are important under the Farm Bill, like these voluntary conservation programs, so we can protect habitat, improve the quality of water supply that's available, make sure that farmers have the tools to be good stewards of their land, reduce sediment and nutrient flows that do the ecological damage. But there's an increased need under the food stamp program, these nutrition programs here in this country, and also a greater interest in specialty crop production to deal with obesity-related illnesses, and especially childhood obesity. So at the end of the day, if we move forward on my reform proposal, the Farm 21 bill that we're introducing, not only can we provide help to our family farmers in all regions and all states in the country, but this could be the great conservation bill of the 21st century. It could be the healthy food bill of the 21st century and an important part of the energy puzzle that we're trying to create with the production of biofuels to wean ourselves off from dependence on foreign oil. Yet it'll be difficult to make those type of investments if most of the money is going to these subsidy programs benefiting a few at the expense of the many. Well, absolutely not. And sometimes the toughest thing to change in Washington is the status quo. And what you're talking about is a farm bill that was created out of the Great Depression and Dust Bowl that's through the years built up a very powerful and well-organized constituency out there. They know how to work Capitol Hill. They have a tremendous amount of resources available to them. And they know how to form a coalition of opposition to any change. But just because there are political forces on the other side doesn't mean we should stop trying to make good policy at the end of the day. And that's what I'm trying to do, is make these reforms and changes that are long overdue, that are supported by market price today, also supported by WTO challenges that we're facing, and instead reprioritize the funding in this bill so we can still make a healthy investment in rural America through rural development programs, conservation, the other farmer programs that we retain, but doing it in a more fiscally responsible manner, and a manner that you can justify to the American taxpayer. And this website that's been created, highlighting where the subsidies go and who's benefiting, should open a lot of eyes that, wait a minute, this wasn't the original intent of these programs. Those who know how to manipulate the system are the ones benefiting under it, and it's time for change.